Happy Divine Mercy Sunday, everyone, the second Sunday of Easter. It's a beautiful one, and some strange things happen in the gospel today, if you noticed. Because we have the Divine Mercy, we're kind of used to it, so to speak, but if we imagine ourselves in the place of the disciples, Jesus doesn't exactly do what we would expect, right? He should have showed up and said, "How dare you guys? Why did you leave me? What's wrong with you?" Or if he was like a virtuous person, he might even have the courage to just sort of let it go, right? And not talk about it. Let's just move on. No, instead he does something surprising and unexpected. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then the second strange thing he does is he breathes on them. Which, if you ever do like imaginative prayer, it's a weird prayer to imagine. Jesus shows up and breathes on you. Well, the last time God breathed on someone, he was breathing life into Adam. So in some sense, as Jesus brings peace and mercy, it kind of harkens back to, it's almost like receiving life itself. Right, and hence the image. There's a pouring out from Jesus' own heart. That to receive mercy is almost like receiving the breath of life that Adam received from God. He breathes on him. And then I think the most surprising thing of all, Jesus doesn't only bring peace, he then gives the disciples the ability to forgive sins, right? Whosoever sins you retain are retained. Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven. The church has always taught that all seven sacraments are instituted by Jesus Christ. And today, we have the institution of the sacrament of confession, that he actually gives his priests the ability to forgive sins, which is quite amazing. Once again, we're a bit used to it, but it's quite amazing. Jesus not only forgives, but he gives others the ability to forgive. Priests in a sacramental way, and you, because you're baptized, you share in the baptismal priesthood, also have the ability to forgive. Right? Because everyone, mercy, right? If we just look at mercy. Mercy is what God's love looks like when it's met with our wayward and broken hearts. It's what God's love looks like. So if we're merciful to one another, it's not really something we have the power to do. It's taking something of God's and then giving it to someone else. And then for the person that's receiving mercy, it's receiving something of God's from someone else, which is amazing. That what was a place of sin and division and strife and pain becomes a place where I actually experience the love of God through someone else, through my spouse, through my children, through my mom and dad, through my friend. It's not just forgiveness. We use the name mercy because it first exists only in God. But then he gives it to us. So we receive it, and then we can actually give it to someone else. That's unexpected, I think. I hope that's unexpected. And because it's a real experience of Jesus, the fruit of mercy is joy. And then the second part of the gospel, you get St. Thomas, right? Which I kind of find this passage funny because we all know this experience. The apostles get to experience Jesus, and then they go to Thomas and they're like, "We've seen the Lord." And he's kind of, right? It's the experience of everyone was at this cool party thing, but you weren't. And then they show up and tell you about it. It's really annoying. You're like, why would you? You know I wasn't there. Why would you tell me about it, right? Just to throw salt in the wound. So it's understandable, right, that Thomas is somewhat disgruntled. And so he kind of doubles down, right? He's like, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. And then beautifully, Jesus meets him there too, in his unbelief, in his somewhat, I don't want to say cynical, but in his bitterness about not being part of the party. Jesus meets him there too, right? Put your hands in my side, in my hands. But Jesus is so merciful that he doesn't leave Thomas there. He doesn't leave us in the place of weakness, right? That's what mercy is. It's to go to the place of weakness. Jesus goes to our place of misery, but he doesn't leave us there. He says, Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believe. He brings him out of that bitterness. Do you believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen but believed, right? Here you go, Thomas. Put your hands in my side, but don't be unbelieving. In fact, blessed are those who trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. Blessed are those who don't get to experience me all the time, who don't get to put their hand in my side. And St. Paul says that very beautifully in the second reading. Although he's talking to these Christians, right? These would have come after Jesus' ascension, right? Although you have not seen him, you love him. He could almost be saying that to you and I. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him, yet you believe in him. And then what's the fruit of mercy? You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who experience me, not by testing me like St. Thomas, but just simply out of trust, out of love, out of believing, out of faith. And so our prayer today is, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust that your mercy is greater than my sinfulness. It meets me in my sinfulness, but it calls me out of it. And that I too can be an instrument of mercy because he's given it to us. He's given us that beautiful gift. And so let us be instruments of mercy, so that we can bring joy to the world.